The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance, AARP Magazine, and also an article from Money.com. Our first article from Kiplinger Personal Finance: new rules are shaking up the residential real estate market. Buyers and sellers have more room to negotiate commissions, and that could reduce home prices over the long run. This article by Sandra Block. Although the spring home buying season is several months away, buyers and sellers have some motivation to come off the sidelines. In early September, a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage had an average 6.35% interest rate, down from 7.12% a year earlier, according to Freddie Mac. And a $418 million settlement reached earlier this year with the National Association of Realtors led to new requirements for real estate transactions in ways that could save you money on the purchase or sale of a home. The settlement stemmed from class action lawsuits that claimed the industry-wide practice of requiring sellers' agents to specify the commission being offered to buyers' agents artificially inflated real estate commissions. The NAR, which agreed to settle the lawsuit, but they denied the allegations, says commissions have always been negotiable, but they're generally held at 5 to 6% of the sales price for years. Under rules that took effect in August, listing agents are prohibited from offering commission splits to buyers' agents on multiple listing services, which real estate professionals use to share information about homes for sale in a particular area. Sellers who list a home on an MLS can negotiate a fee with the seller's agent and decide whether to pay the buyer's agent. Meanwhile, home buyers who choose to work with a buyer's agent will be required to sign an agreement that details how much they'll pay for the agent's services. When the buyer agrees to purchase a home, the money to pay the buyer's agent can come from the seller's agent, the seller, or the buyer, depending on the terms negotiated. In the long run, the change could result in lower home prices, according to the Kiplinger letter. Although buyers haven't paid for commissions directly, they've paid for them indirectly through the higher prices sellers sought to cover the agent's fees. Under the previous rules, Americans paid roughly $100 billion in real estate commissions a year. A homeowner looking to sell a $500,000 home, for example, could expect to spend up to $30,000 on commissions alone. Information for buyers. Home buyers who use a buyer's agent will probably be the first to notice how the rules have changed because they'll be required to enter into a written agreement that details how much they'll pay the agent in commissions if the seller doesn't agree to pay the full amount. Some states required written contracts before the new rules took effect, but now buyers in all states will have to sign contracts. In the past, home buyers would typically work with a buyer's agent without a formal contract in place because it was understood that the seller would pay the entire commission. Don't commit to a long-term exclusive contract until you've had an opportunity to view several homes and determine whether you want to work with the agent, the Consumer Federation of America, CFA, says. Zillow, the online real estate brokerage, recommends signing a 7-day touring agreement before entering into a contract with an agent. You can find samples of state-specific touring agreements at Zillow.com. Zillow's touring agreement states that buyers won't be charged a fee for touring services and stipulates that if the buyer wants to hire the agent for additional services, the parties will reach a separate agreement. Consumer Advocates in American Real Estate, a nonprofit group, offers a template for an agreement to tour homes at caare.org. The site also offers templates of compensation agreements for buyers and sellers' agents. If after touring homes you decide to hire a buyer's agent, don't hesitate to negotiate, says Steve Brobeck, executive director of the CFA. He recommends offering 2% of the sale price or lower depending on the services required. If you're willing to do some of the work yourself, for example, you prefer to do your own home search but won't help in making an offer, the agent may be willing to accept a flat fee for specific services, says Richard Hopin, founder of Smart Buyers AI, which provides education and advice for home buyers. Some real estate brokerage firms are already experimenting with new pricing models, such as offering buyers and sellers a menu of services with a billing rate for each service available. When reviewing a contract, look for red flags, such as a requirement to compensate an agent before you decide to become a client, or a provision that combines compensation for the listing agent and the buyer's agent, which violates the spirit of the new rule, the CFA says. Because you must enter into a contractual agreement, it's more important than ever to work with a competent, reputable real estate agent, Brobeck says. Start by asking friends and relatives who have purchased homes for referrals with the goal of identifying at least 3 prospective agents to interview, he says. Use real estate websites such as Zillow and Realtor.com to research an agent's recent sales and customer reviews. Finally, a prospective agent should provide you with a copy of the contract. Be willing to discuss the terms and give you plenty of time to review it. And what sellers need to know. If you have decided to put your home on the market, you still have the option of offering compensation to a buyer's agent. This decision will depend on several factors, including your local housing market and whether you think paying a buyer's agent or broker will make your home more attractive to potential buyers. Your own real estate agent, if you use one, must receive your approval for any agreement to pay a buyer's broker, as well as the amount of the payment. The terms of the agreement must be disclosed to you in writing. And from Kiplinger Personal Finance, expect a lower cost of living adjustment for 2025. A decline in the inflation rate is likely to bring down the cost of living adjustment to Social Security benefits. Inflation presents a challenge for most American households, but it can be particularly pernicious for retirees who live on a fixed income. For that reason, retirees who have signed up for Social Security benefits closely monitor the annual cost of living adjustment in their payments. 40% of seniors rely on Social Security for more than half of their monthly income, and 14% rely on it for more than 90% of their income, according to an analysis by AARP. Those seniors may be disappointed by the increase in their benefits in 2025. If the inflation rate remains on track, the annual adjustment will be less than 3%, the smallest increase since 2021. The Kiplinger letter forecasts that the 2025 COLA will be 2.6%, down from 3.2% in 2024. The 2025 COLA will be based on the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers in the third quarter of 2024. So if inflation rises before October, the COLA will be adjusted upward, or if inflation declines, the COLA will be reduced. However, the Kiplinger letter forecasts that the inflation rate for the rest of the year is unlikely to fall below recent levels. The estimated 2025 COLA will be larger than the average COLA before the pandemic's effects ignited the inflation rate. Still, the COLA would fall short of the rate of inflation for retirees' actual cost, advocates for seniors say. Seniors who own their homes have been insulated from steep increases in monthly rents, but older homeowners still have to pay property taxes and homeowners insurance, both of which have also risen sharply in recent years. Housing costs also include electric bills, which spiked over the summer because of record-setting heat, says Mary Johnson, a Social Security and Medicare analyst who forecasts a Social Security COLA of 2.7%. Healthcare costs have also risen faster than the rate of inflation and account for a disproportionate percentage of retirees' overall costs, Johnson says. Retired Americans spend an average of 14% of their monthly income on prescription drugs and other out-of-pocket medical expenses, according to a survey of retirees by Schroders, a wealth management firm. Inflation in healthcare cost increases Medicare Part B premiums, which cover doctor's visits and other types of outpatient medical care. Most retirees have their Part B premiums automatically deducted from their Social Security payments, so an increase in premiums can diminish the boost from the COLA. In its annual report released in March, Medicare's Board of Trustees predicted that standard Medicare Part B premiums will increase about 5.8% in 2025 to $185 a month, up from $174.80 a month in 2024. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will announce Medicare Part B premiums for 2025 this fall. Increases in Part B premiums reverberate a bit more of the subset of seniors who are subject to the Medicare High Income Surcharge, also known as the Income-Related Monthly Adjustment Amount, or IRMAA. The surcharge is based on beneficiaries' modified adjusted gross income from 2 years earlier, so the 2025 surcharge will be based on seniors' MAGI in 2023. MAGI is a taxpayer's adjusted gross income with a handful of deductions added back, including student loan interest, tax-exempt Social Security payments, and excluded interest on savings bonds. CMS has announced the amount of the 2025 surcharge. They haven't announced it yet, but seniors who are subject to it are expected to pay Part B premiums ranging from $259 to $628.90, according to an analysis by Kiplinger.com. Prices for prescription drugs also increase at a faster rate than inflation, Johnson says. Although seniors with high drug costs will get some relief in 2025, out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs will be capped at $2,000 a year. The cap was included in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. The law also gives Medicare the ability to negotiate prices for some high-cost drugs, but that won't have an appreciable effect on drug prices next year, Johnson says. And plan ahead with an HSA. One of the most effective ways to prepare for health care cost in retirement is to contribute to a health savings account. Contributions to an HSA are pre-tax if you have an account through your employer, or tax-deductible if your plan is not from an employer. The money grows tax-deferred through the years, and you can withdraw it tax-free for eligible medical expenses at any time in the future. Once you enroll in Medicare, you can no longer contribute to an HSA, but you can use the money in your account to pay premiums for Medicare Part B, Part D prescription drug coverage, or a Medicare Advantage plan. If you have a health insurance policy with a deductible of at least $1,600 for single coverage or $3,200 for family coverage, there's still time to contribute to an HSA for 2024. Maximum contributions for 2024 are $4,150 for self-only coverage and $8,300 for family coverage. Those maximum increase by $1,000 if you're 55 or older. In 2025, you can contribute up to $4,300 for self-only coverage if you have a plan with a deductible of at least $1,650, $8,550 for family coverage if you have a deductible of at least $3,300. And here's an interesting article from the AARP magazine. How I saved $4,400 in a day. And maybe you can too. Some simple negotiation tricks and a little time can go a long way towards keeping cash in your pocket. This article by Diane Harris. How much money could you save if you spent one full day trying? I recently decided to find out, tackling as many money savings tasks as I could in a 9-to-5 workday, all the pesky stuff I kept meaning to do but never made time for. The result for me, eye-popping savings on an annualized basis of precisely $4,466.41. Along the way, I learned some seriously valuable lessons. For one, it's easy to get a deal on almost anything. The real challenge is how big a price cut you can nab. Also, there's a simple formula to achieve the biggest savings. Finally, the benefits of this exercise go far beyond dollars and cents. Here's what I did and how you can do it too. Go for the easy wins first. I spent the first hour of the day identifying my recurring bills and determining which ones to cut or renegotiate. This step revealed two streaming services I'd forgotten. I had a handful of subscriptions to magazines I rarely read and a mystery monthly charge from Apple. All told, I was spending about $100 more a month on these services than I had guessed. I'm hardly alone. Consumers on average estimate they spend $86 a month on subscription services, while their actual outlay is $219 a month, reports CNR Research. Armed with my checklist, I started with the most straightforward task, canceling subscriptions. A pattern became apparent. I'd click to cancel, then I'd get a reminder of how great the service was, click to cancel again, and then get an offer with modest savings, click to cancel a third time, and get a much better deal. The company's goal is to get you to stay on as a customer while giving away as little as possible, so they will never offer their best deal first. Although this was a useful strategy to learn, hold out as long as possible. I ignored the enticements and clicked goodbye in quick succession to 5 magazines and the forgotten streaming services. Then scrolling through my phone, I figured out that the mystery Apple charge was for an app I no longer use. So I dropped that too. Time spent, 2 hours, 10 minutes. Savings, $1,078.53 per year. Deal with a human. To get the best offers, pros had told me you must talk to a person. So for services I wanted to keep, I hit the phone. I followed this basic script. Say you want to cancel your service. That will get you to the retention department, where they have more liberty than a regular customer service rep to give you as much as you can squeeze out of them, says Barry Gross, president of Bill Cutters, a subscription negotiating service. Keep your questions open-ended, like, what can you do to help me reduce my bill? And keep asking, what else can you do for me? First up was my $498.88 a year Wall Street Journal digital subscription. The rep quickly offered what seemed like a sweet deal, a 3-year plan for $99 for the first year, then $299, and $467 for subsequent years. I took it. That was a rookie mistake. If I had checked the Wall Street Journal website, I would have seen a new customer offer for $52 a year. Knowing that, I could have asked for the same price. Resolving to do better, I checked the New York Times website before calling them. So when a rep offered to reduce my $51 a month charge for digital access and the Sunday print edition to $25.52 a month for 6 months, I mentioned a new customer promotion I'd seen, $20 a month for a year. The rep countered with $12.40 a month for 6 months, then $24.80 for the following 6 months. Score. Time spent, 40 minutes. Savings, $788.68. And save the thorniest bills for last. Getting a price cut on cell phone service is tough typically. They keep you on the phone for a long time to wear you down and overload you with confusing details about different plan options that often don't offer any real savings. That matched my experience with Brenda, a cheery Verizon agent who said she'd be happy to help lower my bill. She offered me, don't laugh, she said, $4 off my $234 a month family plan as a reward for my 20 years as a loyal Verizon customer. I laughed anyways. What else can you do for me, Brenda, I asked. She then bombarded me with features of plans I could switch to, none of which could cut my bill more than a dollar or so. I don't need those features, I said. I just want to save money. This went on for an hour until Brenda asked, how much do you need to save? At least $50 a month, I said. Then she magically found a new basic plan, which along with dropping a hotspot on two lines and insurance on another, cut my monthly bill by $51. Later I learned I'd made another rookie mistake. Typically, you can get the discount without giving up anything in terms of service. The last item on my agenda took the most time but yielded the biggest savings. Applying to have my Medicare premiums adjusted due to a, quote, life-changing event. For me, that event was my recent move from a staff job as deputy editor of Newsweek to freelancing writing and editing work that pays far less. Since my Medicare premiums are based on the income reported on my tax return from 2 years ago, my husband and I are paying $1,987.20 per year more than we should pay based on my current income. So I filled out an application for the adjustment, then uploaded it with the necessary documentation. Time spent, 3 hours, 37 minutes. Savings, $2,599.20. And keep the momentum going. The most delightful part of my day wasn't how much cash I put in my pocket. It was how exhilarated I felt and motivated. I was to keep the game going. On my next money-saving day, I'll tackle my cable and internet bundle and my homeowner's insurance. There's very little downside to trying. At worst, you'll break even, says LendingTree Matt Schultz, author of Ask Questions, Save Money, Make More. At best, like me, your savings may run into the thousands. Not bad for a day's work. And our next article from Money.com, saving money might be the secret to better sleep. Managing your finances can be so stressful that you lose sleep. But new research suggests a solution, putting money into a savings account every month, even if it's just a small amount. According to a July report from the University of Bristol's Personal Finance Research Center, located in England, people who save regularly get higher quality shut-eye than those who don't. Folks who save money are also much more likely to feel relaxed most of the time. Regular savers tend to feel more optimistic, are more satisfied with life, and sleep better. Susan Allen, Chief Executive Officer at the Yorkshire Building Society, which sponsored the research, said in the report. The researchers posted that saving money leads to less anxiety about money and greater well-being overall. Put simply, the ability to pay for unexpected expenses gives people with savings less to worry about. Building a safety net, no matter how small, really does pay off in peace of mind and providing security, Allen says. However, it's crucial to make savings a regular habit in order to get those benefits. How savings money can help you sleep. To draw these conclusions, the Bristol Center analyzed a long-running United Kingdom study with survey data going back more than 10 years. Called Understanding Society, the study bills itself as the largest household panel of its kind. According to the researchers, the amount you save isn't the end-all be-all. Even if you're not in a position to put away huge sums of cash, making it a goal to save something is often rewarding. Among people who don't save, only 72% say their sleep quality is very or fairly good. That figure rises to 78% for those who save something each month, no matter the amount. The report also found that low-income people who save money regularly have similar life satisfaction levels as people in much higher income brackets who do not save. With that said, saving larger amounts appears to make a bigger difference. Higher shares of people who saved at least $650 per month responded that they sleep well, feel relaxed, and have optimism about the future than those who save smaller. And we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.